Jets fans, it's Dr. Emma here, and we are ready to review our final round of the Hyundai A-League season, round 27. We were at home to Sydney FC, and we were lucky enough to win that game. To discuss this unusual event, I have two of our Jet streamers here with me. First, back-to-back, welcome back, Andy.
Good to be here once again, to get called up again. It's not because we didn't have anyone available, it was because I was the best to be chosen, I'm sure. So yeah, good to be here.
We work on merit here at the Jet Stream. Performing well on screen, on field and on training.
That's what I like to do.
And also joining me tonight, welcome Matt.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Andy. You've taken my line completely.
We're gonna have another night of agreeance, I can tell already. All right, let's get straight into the opening question then. Matt, I'm going to go to you first since I believe you were the inspiration for this. Home-cooked meals, what's your go-to? What's your one thing that you cook if you can't think of or don't want to make anything else?
Well, it depends on if it's just for me or if it's a bring-a-dish kind of thing. Mm. If it's a bring-a-dish kind of thing, I'm definitely doing hot wings, like so chicken wings, slightly battered, a little bit of flour, a lot of polenta, twice fried, like lightly, and then some really hot sauce. That's my thing.
Nice. And what if you're just on your own?
If I'm just on my own, I'm pretty boring, to be honest. So a bit of fillet and garden salad, or if it's the middle of winter, I'd probably go apricot chicken.
I'm going to outdo you with boring for if it's just on your own. Do you know what my favorite food is? Like what I would eat for every meal if no one was looking?
Baked beans.
It's cereal. Breakfast cereal. I would eat that all the time if I was allowed. So that's my go-to meal if no one's watching. But if I've got to make something, I make this really, really nice but simple halloumi and roast potato salad. It's like fried halloumi, roast potato, spinach, and a poached egg. So it's super simple to make.
That actually sounds really good.
Yeah, it's really simple, but it really impresses people. So when I have people over, I'll make it, and they'll think I've, you know, really gone to effort, and really it's like a five-minute meal. The hardest thing is poaching the egg, and that's not even that hard. Andy, what about you, mate?
So I actually had apricot chicken for dinner, and it went down pretty well. But my go-to would be spaghetti bolognese, because just I like that you really can't go wrong with it. Although I did have a family member that made it and made it really watery and had like full tomatoes and stuff through it, and it was just weird. So you can muck that up apparently. But yeah, that would be the go-to. So look out for the Jetstream cookbook coming next season.
Seriously, Andy, my spaghetti bolognese will be so much better than your spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, we're going to have a spaghetti bolognese off. Never mind tipping competitions and fantasy leagues. Jetstream cook-off. Winner gets their recipe in a cookbook. Jetstream cookbook. It'll be quality just, like our zine, printed on someone's work computer.
Winners, bolognese gets eaten. The losers gets thrown at someone else.
We could have another competition throwing it at the wall. Anywho, boys, we won on what night was it? Saturday night. Gosh. The memory's failing me already. We won on Saturday night. So let's focus on that rather than who has the better bolognese, as there can only be one winner there. Andy, how did it feel? It's the first time this season we've won two in a row. It's the first time we've held Sydney scoreless in a long time. How did it feel winning that final game on Saturday night?
It was a great result. It's just a shame that we didn't have, you know, another week or two. I feel that if we had that, we probably would have been a lot closer, having, you know, Champness really finding form. And yeah, I think if we had another week or two, then it could have come good. But I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, we could have had what we have is finished the season on a high, and it looks like they're really, you know, they've had their fun now, they have the awards tonight, and then they're few weeks off and get back into it. So it seems pretty positive around the place.
You're delightfully positive with that spin on it. I'm a little bit too little, too late. Matt, are you on Andy's kind of vibes there, or are you feeling a bit blurk like me?
I think we're agreeing, Emma. That was if they had done this against in January against Adelaide or Brisbane, then you know I'd be positive again. But you know, it's great to see that they haven't all given up for playing for the shirt. But yeah, it didn't really matter. So who cares?
Well, I guess the good news is it was the young'uns who performed, so that's probably a silver lining on the sadness of the final game and it not really mattering anymore. Before we talk about it any further, let's go straight ahead and listen to the highlights, thanks to Fox Sports, and we'll go straight on into Ernie's presser there so you can hear what the professional thought before we butcher it.
For both the Newcastle Jets and Sydney FC, it's a season where the status quo has remained. The Jets will miss out on finals football for the eighth time in the last 9 years, while Sydney will march into May and the playoffs for the fifth time in six seasons. 1-0 to Sydney in round 14 as Ryan Grant's header was searing in towards that near post. Very similar, I should say, to that Nick Cowburn header back in round 4, which equalised for Newcastle.
Well, he ran in unchecked. Glenn Moss had that covered.
Just his ninth match tonight. Petratos whipping it in, and it falls for Ben Kantorowski. Against the run of play, Newcastle have the lead, and Canter has his first of the season as Newcastle look to finish the season on a high. Searching for Lafondra. First touch takes him towards goal, cuts it across, and it was Topor Stanley there, and then Glenn Moss. The last line comes up trumps for Newcastle. Now Jackson, it's got all the way across goal, and Dimi Petratos will not miss. Newcastle 2 to the good.
Technique is everything in this game, and this looks like a simple finish for Dimi Petratos, but from that angle, at that speed, at this stage, so much can go wrong. But he just nails it, Petratos, hits it straight through the space that's available.
Lafondra. Now Trapp just absolutely hit it. Trying to break through the gloves of Glenn Moss.
He's played well tonight, Jacob Trapp.
And the Jets will sign off in style. And maybe many will be wondering what might have been for a side who promised so much but will not be playing in May.
Oh, it's been a funny year. Statistics lie, I've decided. If you just look at, for example, we conceded one goal less this year than last year. So our defence has been rock solid. The stats on entries into the penalty area, shots, completed crosses, we are top in the league and we didn't score enough goals. And yet we've scored, according to my statistician over there, Matt Townsend, he says it's the second highest points that he assures me this is correct. I think the number of points we've got, what is it, 35? Yes. We would have made it in the finals any other time, but we didn't deserve to be in the finals. We didn't play consistent football and perform like we did tonight. But on a positive note, some of the youngsters really stood up tonight. Again, really impressed with Angus Surgate. Johnny in the second half was terrific. Joey's becoming, I mean, we missed him for 14 weeks and he's now showing what he could have been if we had him from the start of this season. But I have to congratulate our two centre-backs and our goalkeeper. I thought the three of them were outstanding and they did a great job.
If you have to reflect, but it wasn't really that late December and January.
I think right from the get-go, James, I don't think we... There were games that we lost we could have got a draw, and there are games where we got a draw which we should have won. And it mainly came down to what happened in the penalty box, and too many shots from outside the penalty box. But in that front third, we weren't at our best for most of the season. And there's reasons, you know. Roy been out, Joey, as we said, been out for a while, Jason's been out for a while. it's just one of those years. But overall, we've played pretty good football with nothing to show for it, and we should be in the finals. We're not, and as I've said from the start, that's my responsibility.
First 40 minutes tonight, and I
thought the first 10-15 minutes we started really well, because I always talk to and coach the boys sitting on the bench, and I said, look, this is a really good start. We're controlling the ball, we're controlling midfield, we're getting the ball forward. I thought we did really well. A couple of times we got caught in the counter, so the first 10-15 minutes played well, and then the momentum switched to Sydney, and our defence did what they had to do, and that's what they're there for. And then towards the end of that second half, after we scored the goal, we started doing well again with Ben's goal. At the end of the first half. And in the second half, I thought we played really good football. Angus Thurgate was just, it blew me away again. That's twice in a row. He's going to be a real good one. And as I say, Joy up front was tremendous. I thought Dimmy had a good game as well. So Steve did a workmanlike type job for us, but Ben scored the goal, was solid in the middle, came off with cramp. If he's not injured, he found cramp this time. But sorry, Dominic.
No,
it's okay. I forgot what I was talking about.
You mentioned Glenn Moss before. You made a few very crucial saves at very important times in the match, given the score was. What did you make of his performance?
I thought Glenn had a terrific game. He's just, as we all know, goalkeepers mature later than most outfield players, and his positioning, he makes saves look easy because he's in the right position. So the ball many times seemed to come straight to him, and that's because his experience tells him where he should be when the shot comes in, and he just does it over and over again. He started at this club last season as a backup goalkeeper, and I said to him, you're a backup goalkeeper, and he's just been terrific every time he's been called upon, and this year he's been outstanding.
Is that Angus's spot now? You were tossing up, you didn't know where his best spot would be.
I think Angus has always shown to have the capabilities of being a number eight, but not good enough to replace the boys that have been playing in there. Now he's shown that he's good enough to compete with them in that position on a regular basis. That's up to him now. And I think if he has a good pre-season, that'll be a good challenge for him.
Is there one major positive out of this season? I know everyone's going to be disappointed about not making the finals, or is there something that you take away from it?
Well, I think we continue to play good attacking football, so we're entertaining, so that's positive. The number of youngsters coming through that we've managed to re-sign again for the third year that I'll be here next season, and those boys are all developing well, on top of which we've got some coming through the youth team that are doing really well. And Jack Simmons wasn't in tonight, but he nearly was, because Joey got a slight foot injury at training on Wednesday, and then it got worse, and yesterday we thought he might not be able to play because his foot was up like a balloon, but he came good, so he played with it the whole game after almost having to pull out. And if he'd pulled out, Jack Simmons would have been in. And we've got young Pat Langlois as well. So we've got all these young players coming through, and that looks well for the future. But it's a positive. And defensively, even though we attack so much, as I said, we conceded one less goal than we did last year.
We have the budget for a marquee next year.
Okay, you have to ask Laurie McKenna that. I'm not sure.
Okay, thanks for that again, Fox Sports. So, boys, let's talk first then about the lineups. We went, with a 4-4-2, which was a little bit different in the middle to what we normally play, Stevie playing out wide instead of in the centre. Matt, how did you feel about that formation, and was it a surprise? Did you think it worked?
Lots of questions. Yes, it was a surprise. Yes, I thought it worked. I think that is probably a bit of a lead into what will happen next year with Thurgate playing a slightly deeper role, because we've always seen him play either wide or forward. We're a bit, maybe lopsided with, like, compared to when we had the ball and when we didn't. When we had the ball, Champness was definitely pushing a lot further forward than what Jurkovic was. When we didn't, it was like it was your standard 4-4-2. Good to see if that's what Ernie's going to get the guys playing next week, next year, then awesome. I think there'll probably be some more changes to that. Look, it got the result, and you can't really complain.
I'm sure millions still will. Andy, do you agree with that assessment of the formation?
Yeah, I think it's good to see a 4-4-2. That's my sort of go-to in FIFA when I play that, so I understand it a little bit. But I think it definitely opens up for perhaps if we were to strengthen and bring in another striker who could play alongside Roy if he does actually get retained for next season. And I think one of the biggest things we saw through that lineup was the starting lineup at least was all players that have been retained for next season apart from Roy. So to sort of be going out already and having a look at it and going, well, this is what we're roughly going to put out next season, and yeah, get to sort of see that and see how it can play with the different positions of Dimi up front and where he can sort of go in other formations as needed and hopefully free himself up a bit more.
Yeah, so I think one of the big changes in terms of personnel from the previous week was having Boogs back into the squad. He was back with a vengeance. He had a few point-blank saves, which were pretty impressive. I've almost forgiven him for all the fouls he's given away in previous weeks. Matt, do you think the same? Boogs had a good game?
Absolutely. Especially that first half against Razor. I'm not even going to try and say his surname, but yeah, he got back really well. I guess it goes to show, the old dog's not done. I thought Topper Stanley out of the two centre-backs has probably been the better out of this, from this year. But if we go to a back three system, then I can understand why they've re-signed Bugard for next year.
And he's learnt to keep his hands behind his back. I was pretty impressed with that this game. No handballs.
Finally.
Only taken him how many years, but yeah. Got there eventually. Andy, another talking point for the lineup was I think that Vargas didn't start, but he did get his cameo 15, 20 minutes-ish with added on time as a sub. Did you notice him much in that 20 minutes, Andy? Did you think he did a good job off the bench, or do you think it was, you know, just a token gesture?
Total token gesture. It was a great choice to keep him out of it. I think that, yeah, as I said before, playing that team that is going to sort of be the basis of what we go with for next season and to have that clear look, we're going to give you the last game, but you're not going to be the focal point that everything goes through because that's not the plans for the future. I expected him to start and then maybe be an earlier sub around the 50 or 60 minute and sort of get to clap him off and he hugs everyone on the bench and sits down and that's sort of it. But Ernie went the other way, so I guess we need to look at it as he's done his job, and unfortunately we didn't get out of him completely what I think a lot of people would have liked to, but now we move on.
I think that's an interesting point you make, and you've made it twice now, that the starting lineup really was a statement of intent, I guess, for what we expect to do next year. I think that's a really good assessment, and I hadn't quite twigged on that. So, yeah, well done calling that. What about the rest of the sub strategy, Matt? I think for me, I guess, you know, Lockie Jackson came on nice and early at, 46-odd minutes, right after half-time. But the other two subs, I thought Ernie left a little bit late, given Sydney were going to their bench quite regularly between the 60th and 80th minute. Did you have any other thoughts on the sub strategy, Matt?
I agree with what you said. I'm disappointed we didn't see Kane Shepherd this game. I know Ernie's thoughts on farewell games and, you know, if it might be the newly local coming out of me, but I'd prefer to see Calvern over Vargas since he's not playing next year anyway, and the result of this game didn't mean anything. So I would have preferred to see, like I said, Shepherd come on. It's really hard to make changes when you're going well. I know we didn't hold a lot of possession, but he did what he did, and we won in the end. So the other point I guess I'd like to bring up is probably Angus Thurgate playing in a lot deeper role than what we normally see him. He was brilliant again. Excuse me.
You got so excited about Gus, you dropped your phone.
I dropped my phone.
Happens to all of us.
No, he was brilliant again, though. For someone that was introduced, the way he was introduced was that he'd be a winger or a number 10. To see him playing that deeper role, I would really say that Stevie Ugie's got a battle on his hands for next year. And if he had have gone to Korea, which was on the cards, I guess, after Brillante got knocked back, then we've got a ready-made replacement.
Yeah, another good assessment there, I think. Andy, let's turn our attention now to Sydney's lineup. So we were speculating, you and I, with Lukey on the preview pod, that they might just bring a total B team given their ACL commitments and, leading into the finals. They didn't really bring too much of a B team. They still had, Lafondra, Ninkovic, Brillante, Wilkinson, still their number one keeper in. Did that surprise you? And do you think they underperformed because of that lineup?
I don't really think that they underperformed at all. I just think that Glenn Moss in particular had just another great game that kept a lot. They got a lot of shots off, and sure, some of them were pretty much straight to him. But as Ernie said in the press conference, Glenn's maturity to be in the position that makes it look like it was an easy save, but he is mentally prepared for where the ball is going to go to be in that position to make it look easy. Yeah, I think is just what actually made it the result that it was. I think if we didn't have Glenn Moss, it would have been completely different if some of those shots went in. But I think Sydney just is way too proud and always want to finish on a high, and I made comment in the preview that they would be wanting to, go into the finals with, because they get the week off, and they would be wanting to have that performance of a win. And I think this is really going to shake them. I don't think we're going to see Sydney again beyond the first week of the finals that they play. I think they'll go out pretty early on in the finals from watching that.
You think we've broken them?
I think we have. I just feel like they peaked under Arnie and are going to struggle to find that form again.
Do you agree with that, Matt?
Yeah, in a way, they've still beaten Perth three times, whatever. You can't write them off. I think everyone wrote them off after about, 15 rounds when they were saying that Corica was nowhere near the coach that Arnie was. But, they've certainly come back and proved a little bit different. The great thing about finals football is that it is finals and it's sudden death. And, all we can do is wait and see. We can certainly guarantee that we're not going any further.
Thanks for reminding us, mate. We were just starting to feel a bit good about all of this. Let's go to some highlights then to make us feel better. Let's talk about the goals. First goal, 41 minutes. Matt, can you recount that for the listeners?
I can. My memory is that it was a bit of a corner, scrambling the goal mouth. I don't think it was a header from Cantor, but I think it was a deflected header that he sort of swept in. I was as surprised as the Fox Sport commentators that we'd actually scored, but this was straight out of last year's playbook, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, maybe it wasn't a header. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. It was pretty nice to see Cantor scoring, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely it was. like for one of the guys that you know, you wish everything just came down to how much how hard he tried. Cantor would be right up there, but that's probably why Royce scored 11 goals in 19 games as well. If it goes down to how hard he's tried.
True that. Andy, how important was that goal? So that came just before half time. How important was that for us, do you think, to score before the break?
It was very important. We had the first half didn't really seem to be. It was end to end. It was one team, you know, looking strong, and then there'd be a period where the other team would be strong. And yeah, for Canada to be sure in the right place at the right time, but for Boogs and top of the Stanley to get either side of Redmayne and kind of block him out from being able to easily get a hand to the ball, and then it just fell and Canner was able to be switched on enough to go, you know, straight into it and take the lead into halftime. It was a fitting result, and yeah, echo what's been said that it was great that Canner got the goal and had that performance where when he went down with cramp, I was sort of thinking, oh, yep, here he goes again, another off season of knee injuries or whatever else. But no, apparently it was just cramp from having such a go this time.
And does anyone know what Redmayne was appealing there? He put his hand up as soon as it went into the net, but I can't see what he was possibly complaining about.
I think it was a sort of blend between trying to go for that he was pushed out of the way and obstructed, but also probably just in that instance, whack your hand up and hope for the best that they'll find some weird way of saying it was offside or something silly like that.
Mm.
So,
look, I read lips, and I'm pretty sure he said, "Don't you understand that I play for Sydney?"
Oh, burn. Yeah, that's probably most definitely what he said. Well, it was the other side of the halftime break that we scored again, continuing with all the good news. This time, Dimmy, 52 minutes. Andy, how did you see that one? I won't try and describe it since I called Canner's last one a header when it clearly wasn't. Andy?
Yes, well, what can I say? Ryan Grant sucks. And Joey was able to run rings around his mullet and get up the sideline and then be able to put it through for Jackson, who had actually put in a pretty decent run to be in a good position. I think from watching the replays that it may have taken a slight deflection off Grant's boot when he's crossed it over, but that was a quality shot. And if the deflection helped in any way, and I think Redmayne got a touch to it, which just sat up right for Dimmy, who was sitting there waiting for it, and as soon as it was in, decided to channel his inner Conor McGregor with the walk towards the corner flag. And yeah, you could just see that was, you know, whilst a fairly simple finish, that I think was key to Dimmy. He seemed to be pretty shaken in confidence this season, so to slot something like that home against Sydney and be able to tie it up and get the win, yeah, seemed to do a lot for his confidence.
Totally agree. And he needs to get that confidence back. So hopefully that's one of many that we will see in the future. Okay, well, the goals are the stats that matter, but let's talk about a few more of them real quick since, you know, we're football pundits and that's what we do. Possession. Possession was pretty much 50-50, 48 us, 52 them. Matt, did it feel like a 50-50 kind of game?
Nope. I thought they had a lot more possession than the 52% that is published, but that's why we play our best.
But who are we to argue with Fox Sports? So that's what they say. And apparently we had 54% in territory possession. So, yeah, apparently you had a lot more than any of us realised. Shots on target. 5 for us, 10 for them. Off target, 3 for us, 8 for them. So they were having the lion's share of shots, Andy. Does this come back to what you guys were both saying about Mossy just having a blinder of a night?
100%. To have 10 shots against him and they got nothing in, and even off-target shots that, you know, could be close, to have someone that can, you know, put that much effort in and get to that many balls and, yeah, keep them all out. Just, you know, he has to be up there for some award this season.
That would have been, like, that seriously would have been like a 12-point game in fantasy league if I could still be bothered playing A-League fantasy.
I don't know how many, if that's good points or bad points. I don't understand 12, A-League fantasy.
12 would be good. 12 would be good.
Excellent. Offsides. I was interested in the offside stat, boys. Literally just one offside all night, and it was for us. Was that surprising? Sorry, anyone can answer.
I'm surprised that I was surprised that Roy only got one.
Yeah, that's why I'm so surprised. With Roy in the field, I expected many, many more. And the foul count, we had 7 for us, 11 for them. And Lafondra, Matt, he was trying pretty hard to get himself a pen, pulling out all the dives in the box. Did you also notice that?
Going past Lafondra, I'd talk more about Ryan Grant. I think he was probably lucky to stay on the field, but if there wasn't a message that went out to say, you've got a hamstring injury because you're about to get a red card, then I'd be surprised. I did notice the whole Lafondra thing. Don't have an issue with it because that's what, you know, your highest paid strikers are paid to do, is like use any advantage that they've got to try and get a goal. So I don't have any real problem with Roy kicking Matt Lawrence in the head last year either.
just while no one's asking, just remind us all of that. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on Ryan Grant. I thought the ref had forgotten his cards for a while with him. I think he deserved the card a lot sooner, and I think you're absolutely correct that the going down was important to get him taken off before he got himself taken off. And I actually think Cantor's might have been a little bit of the same. I think he was straying a bit into classic Cantor there and was probably going to take someone out any minute. So got a bit excited after his goal.
Would be interesting to see how many yellow cards have accumulated for Ryan Grant, and whether it was, I think it was last year or season before when Brillante come over for a throw-in and Arnie was caught saying to him, get a yellow card so he could have the suspension early. Yeah, that's what I was sort of thinking, is the accumulation up now. And he wants to just get the week off.
No, wouldn't help now. It was the last round anyway, so and they reset when you get to finals.
Interesting. I think Ryan Grant might just be, I'm trying to think of a word I can say. Ryan Grant just might be nonsense. Bogan. Let's just go with that.
genuine tosser.
Yeah. Boys, did any of the other stats stand out for you? Anything else you think was interesting? 3 corners to us, 4 corners to them. I think that was pretty straightforward. Clearances pretty even.
They dominated on intercepts, 27-16.
Yep, good spot. And yet they did nothing with them.
Yes.
We had 100% of 100% of offsides.
Yes, but just the one, so that is nice. Good mathsing, though. Okay, well, let's say that's it. Let's put those stats to bed then. I hope we haven't disappointed you, Statman Dave. Here's one more stat that's important. We got about 10,000 people, 10,200 and something. Can't remember the exact number, but was super impressed. That's pretty good for a meaningless match. Do you agree, Matt?
Absolutely. Since I have to admit it here, I wasn't one of those 10,000. So, yeah, well done.
Yeah, I think it was really impressive. Andy, were you expecting that? I think I forgot to ask the crowd predictions on the preview pod, but did you expect 10,000? I certainly didn't.
I didn't. I was, along with Matt, not able to attend this game. But I feel that a lot of people sort of look at it and go, well, we have a membership base of 11,000 or whatever it is, so therefore we should always be getting around those kind of figures to a game, which is absolute fake news. But to have, 10,000 people there the day before a Knights game as well, and I'm pretty sure the Westpac helicopter ball was on and there was something at Maitland and Groove and the Moo, and just typical Newcastle throw everything on the one weekend, and to still get 10,000 plus people is a very good result.
That's a good point. There was a lot going on around the Valley this weekend. And, yeah, the Knights got 20-odd thousand on Sunday night, and a lot of people are across both those sports. So, yeah, for a meaningless match on a jam-packed weekend, well done, Novocastrians. Stunning turnouts. Okay, well, let's get a bit summative now then, boys, and I'm going to ask you each to give me your man of the match. Andy, would you like to go first?
I'd have to say Joey Champness. I was looking at Glenn Moss for this one, but I think Joey just seems to offer that burst that helps the team really sort of bring an end and finish to the game. So I'd have to say Joey.
Good choice. And the birthday boy as well.
Yes.
I was trying to start the birthday goal chant, but it really didn't get outside of Bay 4. Matt, who's your man of the match?
Can't disagree. If I did, I'd be wrong. So, yeah, Joey.
Oh, now I'm going to disagree, so I'm going to have to be wrong. I'm going to go with Gussie because I think he was very instrumental in the first half particularly. And he just, for me, exceeded expectations and, you know, playing in a different position to what we've seen him before. I think it's the start of something special we're going to see from him. So I'm going to pick Gus, but also special mention to Glenn Moss because, as you both said, we probably could not have done this without him. Let's get even more general after Man of the Match, and it is the Player of the Year awards for the Jets tonight. They're doing that right as we record. The real answer will have been released by the time our listeners hear this. But just for kicks, boys, do you guys have a pick for overall Player of the Year, which we will, of course, talk about more on our season wrap-up pod that will be recorded in the next few weeks. Matt, do you have a Player of the Year, mate?
If it's anyone but Topper Stanley, then they're all wrong.
Yep, I say seconded. Andy, are you brave enough to do anything different?
Absolutely. It has to be Glenn Moss. Consistency over the course of the year. And if we didn't have him, we would be in a far worse position. Not as bad as the Coasties, but we would definitely be way worse because you look at even this game to have, you know, stopped 10 shots on target, that could have been way worse if we didn't have him between the goals. So whilst Topper, you know, works towards that, to still get that amount of shots away means that they're getting through somebody, and having Glenn Moss there to stop them makes us a lot more solid than what we could be.
Okay, good shout. I'll pay that. I always find it very difficult to compare keepers with field players, so I think that probably makes it difficult for me, but I think either of them would be a very good shout. Topper Stanley didn't miss a minute of the entire season, though. I think that's pretty impressive. I'll have to ask Statsman Dave who did that. Who else has done that? Okay, so, boys, have I missed anything pertinent that you would like to add before we close on out?
We have a few of the early awards that have been put out have just hit Twitter.
Read them out, mate.
So Men of Football have had their say, and Nikolai Topper Stanley has been awarded the Ray Barts Medal.
Nice, nice.
Courtney Vine has won the Golden Boot for the W League, and Roy has won the Golden Boot for the A League. So they're the only ones that are out.
Those ones
so
are mathematical,
far.
So they were pretty well known. But good pick there, old boys, on the Ray Barts nod to Topper Stanley. Yeah, keep an eye on the socials, everyone, and those will all be announced by the time you're hearing us. Speaking of the socials, we are on all of them. Check us out at Jetstream Newey on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll try harder at Instagram next season. We're all a bit dodgy at that. But we're all definitely on Twitter and Facebook. And keep up the chatter in the off season, and we'll have all the news as the new signings are announced and all the off season news. And our season wrap up will be coming real soon. Boys, thanks for the season. Thanks for the pod. It's been a good one for, I guess, like the Jets, we've peaked a little late.
Haven't we ever. The last couple of weeks were good, though.
Yeah, well, better late than never, I guess. All right, well, thank you so much, Andy.
No worries at all. Hopefully we will be able to do it all again soon.
And thank you so much, Matt.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you, Jetstream, and have a good night.
And it feels weird saying it because there's no games left to play, but I don't feel I can close off without saying, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Oh, the passion. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.